2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Revisit some stuff. Actually, last week, I guess with the new year, I was just thinking of the word new, and it's appearing in the Bible, and this verse always jumps out. Whenever I think of the word new, the context of these verses, and one in particular, jumps out at me. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And that's the part that jumped out at me, the new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is very strong in the few verses that we read here, where Paul talks about being a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This Bible contains a number of ministries. And let me tell you something. If you do not rightly divide this book, the ministries are going to be blurred. They're going to be like sometimes if you have an ink pen and you draw a line on the paper, the ink sometimes will wash out. Well, the ministries will overlap many times because you don't rightly divide the word of truth. And so consequently, it causes two things in particular, probably more, but just for time's sake, two things. First thing it causes is confusion. The world today concerning the ministry today is absolutely confused on what to believe today. Second thing it causes is apathy. In other words, man just gets complacent to it. He goes into his routine. He gets caught up in the traditions that he was raised in called the tradition of men. And it's just steady as she goes. No thought, no concern, no worry about what does this Bible really say. And folks, this isn't the first time this happened. Turn back in your Bible to Mark and look in Mark chapter 7. Look back in Mark chapter 7. In Mark 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. They come together. Described as wolves. Wolves hunting packs. They come together. Verse 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. They found fault. You know, folks, probably the last thing we need in the Grace Church, and I'm not talking about specifically here now, but I mean from its inception during the days of the Apostle Paul all the way to here now, is the finger of fault. You know, you know, that type thing. They found fault. You know, God went out of his way to tell us who and what we are in Christ Jesus. And everything that he tells us who and what we are in Christ Jesus is always a blessed statement. It's always a beautiful thing that you are in Christ Jesus. So when you're finding a fault, what you're doing is you're looking at the condemned side of man, that is, the old man, the man after Adam, the man that's no good, the man that has sin in him. Well, everybody can do that. You can find fault in everyone by doing that type thing. Just like they came from Jerusalem and saw the disciples eating with unwashing hand, they found fault. But let's see what they found fault according to. Look in verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding what? The tradition of the elders. Folks, when you don't rightly divide this book, it allows tradition to keep on. And people get apathetic in tradition. They're just complacent. This is how it is. My mom and dad did this. My grandma and grandpa went here. And that's just how it's going to be for me and my kids. Well, folks, there is a truth. There is a truth that God has left us. It's in the book, but you have to rightly divide the book to see it. And so consequently, God wants to dispel confusion and apathy by rightly dividing the book. So they get their tradition of the elders. Verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash and they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Let's just wash everything down. Clean up everything. Verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as a washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Boy, I'm telling you, this applies today. You've rejected the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, to keep your own tradition going. You can carry it in today, and that's exactly how it applies. And so in verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. That'll get some kids straight, you reckon? Talk about all the kid issues. Go back under the law. Don't honor mother and father. What happens? Goodbye, Junior. That's what the law says. But look what tradition did to it. Verse 11. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban. What is that? That's to say it's a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free of the death that he was talking about. In other words, if the son, the child, is disobedient, according to verse 10, and curseth the mother and father, he can buy his way out with the gift with the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, let me present a gift, and they declare him to be free. So they've corrupted the commandment of God. Verse 12, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do, on and on. Boy, and that's the apathy. That's the indifference there. So it shows you the state of situation when the Lord came to Israel. You know, some people think that Israel, oh, well, that was God's chosen people. That was a whole holy nation. No, it wasn't. No, they were apathetic. They had gone astray from the Lord. They were lost when he got there. God sent them a pre-runner before Jesus Christ. And that's John the Baptist to get them straight before the Lord got there. Turn back to Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 1. Now, we're going to revisit some stuff that we've covered before. Look in Matthew. I'm sorry, I said 1. I meant 3. Matthew chapter 3. Didn't mean to do that. You have to turn about one page. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John comes to get Israel straight. Then if they weren't straight, they were crooked. They were lost before the Lord got there. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, that's a character to send to people, huh? I mean, come on, folks. Wearing leathern girdles, you know, like bike riders, and a coat with camel hair. I mean, this dude was something to see. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. So there's a lot of folks go see John. Verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. So then I know that when the Lord came, Israel was in a lost state, but he sent before the Lord John the Baptist. We just put this here for shortening it up. Then the Lord came and was baptized of John. But I want you to know that Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions round about came to John the Baptist to be baptized of him in the River Jordan. And it said, confessing their sins. Now, the word confession means to acknowledge. I don't think for a moment that all of those people that came to John the Baptist sat there each individually and confessed their sins one by one to John. I don't see it. In other words, the time frame that it would take for each individual to sit there and tell John of all his sins would just, they'd be doing it today. I mean, it's just too much there. So what am I saying? I'm saying that this nation, when John came, was lost. So he calls them to repent. Why is that? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they repent and get baptized in the river. And by being baptized through their repentance, they're acknowledging their sin of being astray from God Almighty. They're not saying, oh, John, forgive me, for I have sinned and this is my sins. The other day, and on and on. It was recognizing that the one that God promised to send to Israel is coming. Turn to him and get baptized. So when they got baptized, they were confessing, acknowledging their sin of not being right with the Lord, not having their past straight. So they come to the Lord through water baptism, through John. So consequently, there is absolutely nothing that changed when Jesus Christ began his ministry. He started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. There's your king. It's right there. Accept your king. So he raises up the apostles in his ministry there and trains them up in what they should preach. Well, Israel rejected the king, hung him on a cross. Jesus Christ consequently was buried and was raised up by the power of God and met with the 11, which I'm going to put 12 because Judas was replaced there. So I'm just going to put 12 there just for the fact that he was replaced. And preached to the 12 there, and then he ascended up out of their sight. So Peter starts preaching. What is Peter preaching? Well, he's not preaching anything different than John the Baptist preached. Repent and be baptized. And so consequently, Jesus Christ commanded them to go out and baptize. Call Israel to repentance and baptize them. Peter over here, repent and be baptized. The program has not changed. Whatever John taught here, preached here, Christ preached here, the 12 preached here, the 12 preached here, it's not going to change. It's all looking for that kingdom that was to come. It's a 1,000-year kingdom out here in the future where the Lord's going to return. And let me just tell you a couple things about this. Go to Jeremiah and look over in Jeremiah chapter 33. Look in Jeremiah 33. In Jeremiah 33, in reference to Israel, Jeremiah 33, verse 6. Behold, I'll bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I'll, verse 7, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. They turned from the Lord. They got involved in the traditions of men and corrupted the commandments of God. Do you remember Matthew chapter 7? They were astray. They were lost. So all Israel, when I say all Israel, there is a faithful bunch. Through time, all the way from Abraham, through time, there was a faithful group that looked for Jeremiah 33, verse 8. What are they looking for? Two words in there I want you to concentrate on, Jeremiah 33, verse 8. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon. You know what it is to pardon? It's to forgive. So they're looking to be cleansed and pardoned or forgiven. That's what all of these Old Testament saints are looking forward to. Well, folks, you know when that's going to take place? When the Lord returns the second time. He would have brought it here, the cleansing and the pardon, and he would have brought it here. But what did they do? They rejected him. They crucified him. So Peter and the apostles represent the Lord to Israel over here, and they begin persecuting the apostles there. The good news is, God raised up another apostle not associated with those 12, not associated with John the Baptist, not associated with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I have the ministry of Jesus Christ in his flesh right here, contained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But God raised up another man over here by the name of Paul. And Paul then was given a ministry that contained mysteries that Peter knew nothing about. And folks, all of the mysteries of Paul is to your glory. You understand? God gave Paul a message whereby we and only us could be saved today. And that is, Christ died for your sins. He was buried and was raised again the third day. That is the good news, the gospel for today. And men today, corrupted by tradition. Well, it's traditional that we read the ministry of Jesus Christ. I mean, for crying out loud, that's red letters in your Bible. Jesus spoke them. How could we not give heed and credence to the red letters that Jesus spoke? How can you not give credence to the black letters that are spoken by the Lord through the Apostle Paul? Like they're no good? As a matter of fact, did you know in John, the Lord said, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and he will teach you all things that I've taught you and will also teach you things that I didn't teach you. In other words, when Peter got up and preached, he was speaking things he didn't even know how to preach. He didn't even know what to preach, but the Holy Ghost inspired him, and everything he spoke was from the Holy Ghost. He was spiritually empowered to speak things pertaining to God that he had no clue as to what he was going to say. He said, well, how's that relevant to anything? Because when God raised up Paul, the words that Paul preached were of the Lord, right? Is Paul's words of the Lord, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then. Well, if Peter is preaching over here with the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, don't you think if Paul is preaching the words of God, Peter would know them? It would make sense, but he didn't. Matter of fact, Paul writes in Galatians that when Peter perceived the grace that was given unto me, he didn't know a lick of the words that Paul was preaching on, even though they were the Word of God. So these guys have a whole different ministry working in here than the Apostle Paul. And if you don't rightly divide that, you are going to be confused. You want to know why people continue going to their churches after you've shown them some things of truth? Because of tradition. They haven't been shown the book rightly divided, so they get complacent to the truth of the Word of God. So here you have them calling Israel to repentance. Well, folks, we don't call Israel to repentance today. They called Israel to repent, to go into this kingdom whereby they will be cleansed and pardoned. That's what they're looking for. I mean, when these Old Testament saints died, when King David died, even though he was an adulterer and a murderer, and he questioned God concerning a battle, there were three errors made by David, if you didn't know that. Major. He still rested in hope because he believed in the Lord and offered the sacrifices according to Moses for his sins. And he looked forward to this time when he'll be cleansed and pardoned. Cleansed and pardoned. Turn to 1 John. I'm here to tell you in 1 John, John is not going to teach anything different than what John the Baptist taught. John is not going to teach anything different than what Jesus taught. John is not going to teach anything different than what the other 11 taught. But bless your soul, he taught totally different than what Paul taught. In other words, the writings of John and 1 John is going to doctrinally match up all of this you see on the board here, except this time here. And preachers can't get it straight because they don't rightly divide, so they're confused. And so are their people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, you hear that all the time. Convincing people, come confess your sin. You have any idea? Anybody here? Or is there anybody here interested in coming up here and confessing your sins so that you can be forgiven? Just one person. Because I tell you, we'll finish up with you up here and we'll all agree if you come up here to come back at 6 and hear the end of your confession. Where did we see Israel confessing their sins earlier? Where did we read about it? Thank you very much. They went, repented, were baptized, confessing their sins. Well, John isn't going to change from this in 1 John. He's going to match it right up. So he's writing to Israel. He said, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse. So if you confess your sins, he's going to what? Cleanse and forgive. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? 33, we read it. They're looking forward to the return of the Lord, where their sins will be cleansed, where their sins will be pardoned. John is just matching it up. But the word that stumps them is the confession. Well, how do you confess? How do you acknowledge? Repent and get baptized. Confessing your sins, acknowledging your sins. Hence, by doing so, you've got cleansing and a pardon waiting for you at the return of the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 3 real quick. Peter preaching here. We're jumping right in. The Lord's been crucified, buried, raised up. Peter's preaching right here, right after the resurrection of Christ. He ascended up out of their sight. Verse 19, Acts 3:19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, and on and on and on. In other words, repent and be converted that your sins may what? Be blotted out, cleansed, pardoned. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, the Lord isn't present here. What's he looking forward to? The return of the Lord here, where their sins will be blotted out. They just match up. I mean, Peter didn't say, confess your sins therefore and be converted, did he? He said, repent. Well, the repentance has to do with the baptism that John taught. The first John, confess your sins, has to do with the baptism that John taught, and hence, the sins will be cleansed out, washed away, blotted out, pardoned. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's an absolute truth, and it's a beautiful truth. But we're going to hang some beauty to this truth. We're going to beautify it even more. Turn to Romans chapter 7. When you get to Romans there, chapter 7. We're going to go to chapter 5 also. Romans 7, and I probably don't need to go into this, but we're going to do it real quick. Romans 7, verse 18. Paul writing about himself here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You bunch of sinners. No, I don't feel that way. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You'd think that this apostle, when he got saved, just had absolute sin taken out of his life, huh? Nah. It's still there. It still plagued him to the day he died. There's something in you that will never leave you, and that is sin, and God knew it. And so he did a program. He accomplished a work through Jesus Christ to take care of that which you can't get rid of. You can't come up here and confess it out of your life. You can't repent it away. You can't baptize it away. The only way you can get forgiveness is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's the difference between Paul's ministry and all these others over here. The big difference, Romans 5. Get Romans 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We were reconciled to God, how? Through repentance and water baptism, and you coming up here faking it, confessing your sins? We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You understand? It's Jesus Christ who went to the cross. He died for our sins, was buried and raised again, and that allowed God to restore you to favor with Him through the death of His Son. Turn over to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave. Let me ask you something. The word forgave, past, present, or future tense? Past tense? Forgave, past, present, or future? It's three words. Just pick one. Forgave, that word, is that a past tense, present tense, or future tense? It's past tense in its context. In other words, here we are out here to 2010, as they say. We have sins that have been forgiven. They're already taken care of. He forgave you. How? By the death of His Son. Israel doesn't have that. They're hanging on. They're keeping the faith until their death. And then all of these Old Testament saints who were faithful that look forward to Jeremiah 33, I think it's verse 8, for the cleansing, for the pardon, these that are down in Abraham's bosom going to be resurrected and brought into that kingdom, and boom, they get cleansed. Not you. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right here, right now, and you're forgiven. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 5 says you're cleansed. We have it here now. We're not waiting for the appearing of the Lord. We're not looking for His return here. We have all the blessings in Christ right here, right now. God's taking care of us, forgiving us all our sins. Folks, there's not a better message that can be preached than that right there. There's no better message. It can't get no better, okay? Can't get no better. So for each person living here today, I did this last week, it all comes down to you recognizing your need, not knowing, well, Christ went to the cross, He died, was buried, and raised again. The world knows that. What you have to see is that you're lost. Just like Israel, they had to see that they were lost. And those that recognized it came out of that tradition of men repenting, getting baptized, which was acknowledging their sin. Today, you have to recognize you're lost and then trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave Himself for you. And by doing so, your sins are already forgiven. You're already cleansed through Jesus Christ. We just waiting to fly away, as we sang earlier. You ready to fly away? Could come today. And if you haven't trusted in the Lord, you're earthbound on the ground. You understand? You ain't going nowhere except into the tribulation. Folks, the fact of the matter is, tradition cannot compete with truth. Can't compete. So bring it out there to a lost and dying world. Bust up the tradition. Upset the traditional apple cart by telling them that they can be saved by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That, just that little framework of words, will be a whole conversation with them. You don't have to know anything more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the gospel, the salvation that comes in just believing in Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, was buried and raised again.